Blog Talk Radio.
The place where God lives. He resides in our worship. He resides in our praise to Him. He resides in us. So have your way, Jesus.
Have your way.
you, but you gotta let him have his way, have his way, have his way.
Of glory be unto the true and living God, and welcome to Talk, Teach, and Testify Ministries. Amen. I am your brother in the Lord. Amen. Renaldo Wade. And this evening, we will have, amen, a teaching coming forth, amen, by my aunt, amen, in the Lord, Apostle Janet Brown. Amen. I'm so glad that you're here by divine appointment, because it's going to be a powerful teaching. Amen. This is something that we need to hear right now. Amen. In this season. Amen. So we have to be able to know what's happening in our spirit, man. Amen. When you're connected with the Lord, he lets us know when trouble arises. He lets us know when, amen, the blessings, the inheritance come upon us. Amen. And he elevates us, amen, in his glory. Amen. So we have to know these things, and we have to know what it takes to get closer to him, to have an intimate relationship with the Lord. So I'm glad that you're here by divine appointment. Amen. And I hear something in the air today. Amen. Let's get ready to receive a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. Name is the blowing of the shofar. Glory to God. So you know what that means? It's time for us to get ready for spiritual warfare. Amen. Let's get ready, amen, to receive the assignment, amen, from our Heavenly Father. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, thanking you, Lord, for another day, because this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Abba, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for who you are, the El Shaddai. You are the true and living God. You are the Iye Asher Iye. You are the great I am that I am. And Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, in humbleness and in humility. We thanking you, Lord, for blessing us, Lord, with your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your glory. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your protection. You are our fortress and our redeemer. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blood that was shed, Lord, for the remission of our sins, for a new testament and a renewed legislation to be placed in the heavens. Heavenly Father, use your daughter on tonight, Lord. Use your Son of God, Lord. Lord, arrest our spirits under the unction of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost. Lord, today, Lord, we will get fresh revelation, fresh manna coming from you, Lord. Lord, from the throne room of heaven, Lord, we praise you in advance, Lord, for giving us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of your word, for the full manifestation and the divine revelation of your will and your purpose for your kingdom. It has never been about us. It has always been about you. It's always been about restoration. It's always been about true holiness and sanctification. And Heavenly Father, let the words that come out of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts, Lord, be holy and acceptable unto you. Oh, Lord, you are our strength and our Redeemer. And Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise that's due unto you, Lord. And Lord, in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, we do ask and pray that all is done. Amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. I am excited, amen, for this evening. Amen. I'd like to read for you, if I may, a key scripture, amen, that a lot of people need to hear before we step into the teachings, amen, of the Shaylock, Janet Brown. If you go into your word in the book of Romans, chapter 2, amen. Romans chapter 2, you can write this down in your notes, verse 28 and 29 talks about the fact that, yes, we are a praise and worshiper or a Jew, but not outwardly. It says it right there, verse 28, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. Amen. So we are not to be practicing Jewish fables, you know, their particular traditions that they plugged in. Amen. But it says in the next verse, read that, but he is a Yahuda. You see that right there? Which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of Yahuwah, of our Heavenly Father. So the circumcision, no, it doesn't matter if you have circumcision, amen, on the outside or not. But it's about your circumcision inwardly, with him writing his laws on your heart. This is why we study the Old Covenant, to understand what is written on the inside of us by the Lord, by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So as long as we are in the Lord and the Lord is inside of us, and understanding that he is the king of the Yahuda, because he came from that bloodline, he had to come through there, through that particular bloodline, for our salvation. So, yes, we are a Hebrew Israelite inwardly. By the blood, we are adopted into sonship. So those of you who want the blessings but don't want to go this route, it's the only route. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is the only way that you inherit. This is the only way that you will inherit the blessings, the anointing from God. Amen. His grace is sufficient. Amen. So I wanted to just go ahead and get that out in the beginning so we will know what is going on. We're in a season in which we're going through a transition. Those of you who came on Talk, Teach, and Testify Ministries earlier this week on Monday, as we tapped into, amen, the teaching of the month of Iyar, it's a transitioning that you're going through from the Passover because of the blood that's upon your doorpost, which is your heart, and you're shifting into a releasing, amen. There's going to be an activation going on within your spirit man in May. Amen. After the Passover, 50 days later will be the Shavuot, or they call it the Pentecost. Amen. We know about that in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, in which there were 120 apostles together worshiping the Lord, tapping into the spirit realm and to his glory realm. And then there was a sound, because the Lord always deal with the sound, and the faith comes by hearing, not by sight. Praise God. So there was an activation there. The Holy Ghost came in like a mighty rushing wind, and it came in They were speaking in tongues. It was the gathering of his harvest. It was the start of, people would call it the church, but it was the start of the ecclesia or the kohol. It was the start of the gathering. It was the start of the gathering of his people, of his holy people, of a new generation, the sons of God, the Bini Elohim. And this is what we're teaching on this evening. And I'm so excited that all of you are here by divine appointment. Amen. Those of you who have a question after the teaching, please press 1 on your keypad so that way we will go ahead and place you on the line. If you would like to speak with the teacher or even if you have exhortation, amen, for her, please press 1. Amen. Those of you who called in. Amen. Hallelujah. So without no further ado, I will go ahead and bring my aunt on. Amen. Glory to God. And I'm so excited that she has came, amen, with fresh manna, amen, to give unto us, amen, under the unction of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And, I mean, she has prepared something very well, amen, with the Lord being the Godhead, amen, over her soul, her spirit, and her vessel. So, amen, I'm excited. It smells wonderful, and I'm ready to eat. Amen. So without no further ado, amen, I'm going to bring her on the line, and then I will explain more, amen, as to what is happening in the spirit realm, and then she will come in, and amen, and bring us the word. So without no further ado, let's give a talk, teach, and testify, welcome, and a hallelujah once again, my dear aunt, amen, in the Lord, the Shaylock, Apostle Janet Brown. Good evening. How are you?
Kingdom blessings to you, the host, and to everyone who has joined online, and also to anyone who will come later that will listen to this recording. I bless you in the mighty name of Yeshua. We're going to begin. Earlier today, I did a posting on the day which is the 22nd day of the Omer, of counting the Omer. And I'm going to go right into this because I have a lot to give to you to serve on this manner. My prayer is that the Father keeps the connection. We've been going through something here all day with the internet connection. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who chose us from all the people and gave to us his Torah. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the Torah. The universe has given the Messiah Yeshua, the covenant of the new covenant. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the renewed covenant, which is the Berith Hadasha. Lord, so do a work in a fit vessel for your empowering. I acknowledge that any results I may see here are because you anoint me. I pledge before you and in obedience ask for an instituted for this hour and this time and for the mission you have called me to. Proclaim your kingdom through me in holiness and in truth. May I testify to your kingdom through healing and deliverance. May I set you forth so clearly that many will flock to find you. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I had said this on account of the people who are listening in on here today, and that they may believe that you have sent me. I take every spirit in the hearing of my voice under my control. No other spirit except that of the Holy Spirit will be allowed to speak or manifest during this time of ministry. I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. For by thy name, for the Lord does fill my mouth. We're going to talk today about the title of this called The Day of the Revelation. And it's to do the thing of the Omer, or what we call Pentecost. And it's the marriage day between God, and sometimes you will hear the name Hashem, and his people. The festival and the Sabbath are referred to continually because the days we should meet with God. M-O-A-D-I-M, appointed seasons, summons us to submit ourselves entirely to the contemplation and inner realization of these ideals which lie at the foundation. Just as Moed, M-O-E-D, in space refers to the locality which men have as their appointed place of assembly for an appointed purpose, such as the tent of meeting. So Moed in times is a point in time which summons us communally to an appointed activity, in this case, an inner activity. Thus, Moedim are days, the Lord, are days which stand out from the other days of the year. They summon us from our everyday life to halt and to dedicate our spiritual activities to them. From this point of view, the Sabbath and Yom Kippur are also Moedim. The Moedim interrupts the ordinary activities of our life and give us the power and the spirit and consecration for the future by vivifying those ideas upon our whole life or erasing such evil consequences of past activities are deadly to the body and spirit, and thus restore to us lost purity and the hope of blessing. Holy Convocation. The festivals are days which the people are invited to assemble in Tefillah, and Tefillah means prayer and thanksgiving, and to celebrate with fine clothing and festive meals. God desires only festivals that are observed in the holy, elated spirit of these are my appointed festivals. On these holy days, we desist from mundane involvement of the week and devote ourselves to the Torah and sacred pursuits. Such days are God's festivals. But days that are dedicated exclusively to gastronomic and physical pleasure are not God's. They are human concoctions that he despises. The purpose is spiritual elevation. The specific food, festival, clothing, our people achieve that goal. By giving honor and distinctiveness to the day, we focus our mind on it and thereby foster a realization of the spiritual opportunity it offers us, if we but utilize them properly. A day of complete rest. The Sabbath is mentioned with the festivals to teach that anyone who desecrates the festival is regarded as if he had desecrated the Sabbath. And anyone who observes the festivals is regarded as if he had to observe, if he had observed the Sabbath. The festivals as days of rest under the category of the Sabbath because it is the holiest and the primary day of rest. And Omer, O-M-E-R, is the name of a dry measure containing the volume of 43.2 average eggs. It is the amount of flour that must be brought, and it is also the name by which the offering is known. Although the Omer offering permitted all five species of grain for general use, grain of the new crop could not be used for temple offerings until the two bread offerings 50 days later. By its very nature, physical work in the fields leads one to forget his spiritual nature. The Torah, therefore, surrounded the farmer's chores with commandments so that he would remain conscious of his true purpose. At the beginning of the harvest, the nation offers the Omer and the two breads. When he harvests, the farmer must leave the gleanings and a corner for the poor. That's in verse 22. Again, making him realize that the crop is not his own. You will find that in Leviticus, in the book of Leviticus, 23rd chapter. Verse 21 said, you shall convoke on this day. Shavuos, or Pentecost, marks the culmination of the 7 weeks of growth that made the revelation possible. This explains why the name of the festival is what it is called, literally weeks, rather than a name that suggests the giving of the Ten Commandments that occurred on that day. The period from Passover to Shavuot is a time of great anticipation. We count each of the days from the second day of Passover to the day before Shavuot, 49 days or 7 weeks, hence the name of the festival. The counting reminds us of the important connection between Passover and Pentecost. Passover freed us from physically from bondage, but the giving of the Torah or Shavuot redeemed us spiritually from our bondage to idolatry and immorality. Understand also that when Yeshua shared Passover with his apostles, it was also the beginning of being freed from the bondage of sin, as he was the Passover lamb for that generation and the generations to follow. Shavuot is also known as Pentecost, as we are saying, because it also falls on the 50th day. However, Shavuot has no particular similarity to the Christian holiday of Pentecost, which occurs 50 days after their spring holiday. Don't panic yet. The Pentecost, when we shared it with in the time of Yeshua, occurred 50 days after he was crucified and approximately 10 days after he ascended into heaven. It is also stated that the Apostle Luke, when he wrote, intended his readers to understand the disciples were still meeting in the same place they had been meeting. Where had they been gathering? It was 120 of Jesus' disciples had been meeting together in an upper room during the time between his ascension into heaven and the day of Pentecost. What is also interesting here is that Yeshua was walking the earth in various locations for 40 days after his crucifixion, before his ascension to heaven. Now we'll continue to talk about the importance of Shavuot and this right now. The 40 days he walked the earth, that is a separate teaching that I'm going to have to explain that in full detail. But it is documented in Scripture. According to the Torah, Leviticus 23:15 says that you shall count for yourselves from the morrow of the rest day, from the day when you bring the omer of the waving, 7 weeks, they shall be complete. We are obligated to count the days from Passover to Shavuot. This period is known as the counting of the Omer, and we already know that it is a unit of measure. Every night from the second night of Passover to the night before Shavuot, we recite a blessing and state the count of the Omer in both weeks and days. So if it's the 16th day, you would say today is the 16th day, and which is 2 weeks and 2 days of the Omer. In Hebrew, the word Shavuot means weeks and stands for the 7 weeks during which the Jewish people prepare themselves for the giving of the Torah. During this time, they rid themselves of the scars of bondage and became a holy nation ready to stand before God. It is noteworthy that the holiday is called the time of the giving of the Torah, time of the receiving of the Torah. Sages point out that we're constantly in the process of receiving the Torah. We receive it every day. But it was first given at this time. Thus, it is the giving, not the receiving, that makes this holiday significant. It is the second of the three major festivals and comes exactly 50 days after Passover. It marks the giving of it by God to the entire people on Mount Sinai, approximately 3,325 years ago, and we're still counting. The counting is intended to remind us of the link between Passover, which commemorates the Exodus, and Shavuot, which commemorates the giving of the Torah. It reminds us that the redemption from slavery was not complete until we received the Torah. There was at one time disputes to when the counting should begin. The Pharisees believed that God gave Moses an oral Torah along with written Torah, and according to oral Torah in Leviticus 23:15, the first day of Passover, which is on the day. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are both referred to as Shabbat in this sense. Though they cannot both occur on a Saturday in the same year, you have to see in Leviticus 20, verse 32, also see Leviticus 23, chapter 39, verse. The first and 8 days of Sukkot are called Shabbat. In this view held by most Jewish people today, The counting begins on the second night of Passover. That is the day after the non-work day of Passover. The Sedekim, the Sadducees, rejected the idea of an oral Torah and believed that the word Shabbat in Leviticus 23 referred to the Shabbat of the week when Passover began. So counting would always begin on a Saturday night during Passover. The Sadducees no longer exist today. Only a small sect called the Karaite, and that is spelled K-A-R-A-I-E-S, follow this view. Literally, people of the scripture, a sect of Judaism that, like the ancient Sadducees, does not accept the oral Torah, but relies solely on the written scriptures. They are now a small sect, but at one time they had attracted 40% of the Jewish population. Now, blessings in the county. One stands when counting the Omer and begins by reciting the following. Baruch atah, let me do it in English. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, sovereign of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us to count the Omer. After the blessing, one recites the appropriate day of the count. As I stated before, this is the inclusion of both the day, let's say 13, this is for an example, and the week, 1 week and 6 days, stems from a rabbinic argument about whether the Torah mandates counting days or weeks. On the one hand, the biblical text instructs you shall count 50 days. On the other hand, the text also says to count 7 complete weeks. The compromise position manifested in the ritual is to count both days and weeks. The blessing for counting the Omer as well as the language for each day of the counting appears in most prayer books, that they call them Siddur, S-I-D-D-U-R, at the end of the text for the evening service. Because the blessing should precede the counting and not the other way around, many will not say what day of the Omer it is until after the ritual counting. Thus, the reminder about what day to count is also phrased as yesterday was the fifth day of the Omer. Many people precede the counting of the Omer with a meditation that states one's intention to fulfill a commandment. This meditation serves to focus the individual on the task at hand and to remind him or her of the biblical basis of the commandments. And it goes, I'm not going to read it in Hebrew. It says, behold, I am ready and prepared to fulfill the mitzvah. And mitzvah generally means good deed, of counting the Omer. As it says in the Torah, you shall count from the eve of the second day of Passover, when an Omer of grain is to be brought as an offering, 7 complete weeks. Day after the 7th week of your counting will make 50 days. Okay, the Omer is counted every evening after midnight, after nightfall, from the second night of Passover till the night before Shavuot. If you forgot to count the Omer at night, then you count the following day, but without a blessing. On subsequent nights, continue counting with a blessing as usual. The blessing is made only if every day has been counted. If you miss a day, say the days count without the blessing. And I'm going to, earlier I had posted, today's count and the prayer that goes with it. Today is really is 22 days, which is 3 weeks and 1 day of the Omer. If you were to look at other places, they would tell you it is the 23rd day. I'll get to that in a minute. So again, I'm wondering if I should go ahead and read this prayer. I really don't want to miss giving you too much, but I'll tell you what, if you go to my profile or even there with Apostle Wade's profile, you will see it. You will see a picture of counting the Omer, and it has the 22nd, day 22nd, and you'll see it there, but you read the whole entire post there, and it will tell you everything that I would say this evening. If I have time, I'll come back and speak this. And I even put a legend at the bottom of it because there are going to be words in there that you will not may or may not recognize. So that is in there as well. I did forget one, which was the Bet Hamikdash. It's BetHamikdash, and it means the temple in Jerusalem or holy temple. It refers to one of a series of structures that was located on the Temple Mount in the old city of Jerusalem. It's the ultimate dwelling for God's presence. Okay, I'm continue down. One rabbinic debate considers whether there is one cohesive mitzvah to count 7 weeks and 50 days, or whether each night of mourning constitutes a separate mitzvah. This debate would seem immaterial if not for the proscription against reciting a blessing in vain, that is, not for the purpose of doing a mitzvah. A mitzvah is a good deed. If there is a separate mitzvah count each night, then forgetting one night would have no effect on one's ability to count subsequent nights. If, however, there is one collective mitzvah to count the entire period, then missing one night disrupts the entire count. The rabbis effectively difference and conclude to count Omer on it, count the next morning without blessing, and then they continue counting as usual with the blessing that night. If, however, one forgets to count the Omer at night and also forgets to count in the morning, one should still count the Omer on every subsequent night, but should no longer recite a blessing before counting. The counting of the Omer is a commandment, as we know from Leviticus 23, verses 15 to 16. Each year the argument rages just which day of rest is the day after to bring the Omer count. Some felt that the day of rest means the weekly Shabbat after, as I had stated before, after Passover, from verse 11. And he is to wave a sheaf before Adonai so that you will be accepted. The Kohen is to wave it on the day after the Shabbat. Therefore, they insist this Shabbat must be the weekly Shabbat after. There are three problems with this conclusion. First, verses 4 to 7 of Leviticus 23 says, "These are the designated times of Adonai, the holy convocations. You are to proclaim at their designated times. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, between sundown and complete darkness, comes Pesach, Passover, for Adonai. On the 15th day of the same month is the festival of Matzah. For 7 days you are to eat matzah." And you all know what matzah is. It's the wafers that you see are brown, and there are several holes in them. It's the unleavened bread that is eaten during Passover. "On the first day you are to have a holy convocation. Don't do any kind of ordinary work." Note verse 7, it is describing a Shabbat, a holy convocation, not the weekly Shabbat. Therefore, it is more likely that the Shabbat in verse 11 is referring to the special holy convocation cited in verse 7. Second, all of Leviticus 23 is describing the designated times, the commanded high holy days. Leviticus 23 begins with the weekly Shabbat and goes on to describe the feast days. But notice in verse 37 to 38, "These are the designated times of Yahweh that you are to proclaim as holy convocations, each on its own day, besides the Shabbat of Yahweh." The last phrase, "each on its own day, besides the Shabbat of Yahweh," is key. The high holy days described in the previous verse 36 in Leviticus 23 are to be each on their own day, besides the weekly Shabbat. This is the central clue that the day to begin the Omer count per Leviticus 23:15-16 is the day after the high holy day of Passover. That is, the Omer count always begins And finally, the third point, one goes through the book of Exodus, starting with chapter 12, verse 29. We find that the first original Passover was the 15th of Abib, and the Exodus began that very night. This means even if the mass of people began moving on the 15th, the first day of the Exodus was the 16th of Abib. For on the 15th, they were all still in their homes in Egypt. We keep reading Exodus till the 10th commandments are given in Exodus 20, verse 1. And we carefully count the days from when the Exodus began back in Exodus 12, verse 29. And we find the commandments were presented to Israel 50 days after the Exodus began. Indeed, this is the significance of Shavuot, the 50th day after the counting of Omer. Therefore, by simply counting the day of Exodus, we find that the 50-day count began on 16th Abib, that original year of the Exodus. Thus, each year we commemorate by counting the Omer Abib. Note, this is important, that this year, 2773, the Omer count began at sunset on March 27, meaning the daytime of March 28th is the first day of Omer. This differs from the traditional Hebrew this year of 5073, which says that the Omer count began a day earlier. So, which is right? Well, the traditional calendar is wrong. And why is this? In the Hebrew calendar, which it's all of the traditions, and that's also the same year that you'll hear me say 5773. Passover begins at sunset on March 25th, and the Omer count begins at sunset on March 26th. It falls at sunset on 15th, each day being a day too early, because 7 months from now, the rabbis insist Yom Kippur cannot fall on a Sunday. Therefore, to force Yom Kippur to fall on a Saturday instead, the rabbis have to literally ignore the moon and force the year, which in the Hebrew calendar begins at Nisan 1, that's spelled N-I-S-A-N, to begin a day early at sunset on March the 11th. They literally declare Nisan 1 to be a day early, so Yom Kippur, 7 months later, will fall on Saturday. We think this is wrong, and by using the moon, which is supposedly to define the Hebrew month, we find that Nisan falls at sunset on March the 12th. And it is this which establishes the correct day for Passover and the correct day of the Omer. If one starts the Hebrew on the correct day, the middle of the month will be greeted with a full or nearly full moon rising at sunset on the 14th or the 15th of the month. Sadly, those following the traditional rabbinic calendar in 2013, at sunset, March 25th, 2013, which they claim begins Passover, will see the moon rise way before sunset, more than 75 minutes before sunset. Clearly, not full, yet they are saying that night is Passover. Yet the next night, at sunset, March 26th, the moon will rise dramatically around 15 to 20 minutes before sunset, as it should, as it nears full, and will become completely full as the night progresses, truly marking Passover, the 15th of the Hebrew month. Because of the 4 days of the traditional rabbinic calendar, all of the commanded feasts of Yahweh for 2013 in the traditional rabbinical calendar are off by 1 day. All because instead of allowing the sun and moon and stars to be signs, seasons, and days and years as prescribed in Genesis 1st chapter 14, they add man-made rules to force the holy days to fall on days of the week they've declared. We find no scripture, and I find no scripture to insert these man-made rules into the calendar, and I have chosen, and I don't know about anybody else, to to follow the true Hebrew months that are revealed by the seasons on which God has commanded in his word. The giving of the Torah, we understand that work is not permitted during this time. It is customary to stay up the entire night of Shavuot and study Torah and then pray as early as possible in the morning. I'm looking forward to doing this and will probably be online. And anyone that will join me can, I will post this. It is customary to eat a dairy meal at least once during Shavuot. There are varying opinions as to why this is done. Some say it is a reminder of the promise regarding the land of Israel, a land flowing with milk and honey. In addition to, the book of Ruth is read at this time. And there are varying reasons given for this custom. But yet, in addition to the Torah study, there are other customs that are also included, where it's also the chanting the Ten Commandments. We're reading the Majella, which are the scrolls known in the Book of Ruth in English. She is known as the mother of royalty. The Book of Ruth was recorded by the prophet Samuel. The biblical book tells the story of two women, a Jewish woman named Naomi and her non-Jewish daughter-in-law, Ruth. Their relationship was so strong that when Ruth's husband died, she decided to join the Jewish people by converting to Judaism. The book of Ruth is read during Shavuot because it takes place during the harvest season and because Ruth's conversion is thought to reflect our acceptance of the Torah on Shavuot. Also, his grandson was born, and he also died Shavuot, and also the anniversary of his death. The synagogues and homes are decorated with roses and aromatic spices. This custom is based on that connects the event at Sinai to spices and roses. The giving of the Torah was far more than an historical event. It was far-reaching spiritual event, one that touched the essence of the Jewish soul then and for all time. We have been compared, or it has been compared, to a wedding between God and the Jewish people. And we became his special nation and he became our God. So it's more of the marriage where he is the husband and we are the bride, because it also refers to Yeshua that is coming. Jewish holidays often have food-related components, and the Shavuot is no different. According to tradition, like I said before, we eat dairy foods such as cheese, cheesecake. So I know several people it's also related to the book of the Song of Songs. One line of the poetry of the poem reads, "Honey and milk are under your tongue." Many believe that this line is comparing the Torah to the of milk and honey. And some European children are introduced and honey cake with passages from the Torah written on them. I thought I would give you that little note. Let me go on down here. I'm going to share with you a little bit. This is just a tip of the iceberg on this discussion. You also can hear about the day when even at the 19th chapter of 25, and you back into Apostle Rinaldo's teach talk and testify ministries on his broadcast, you will find that I was speaking before, and I was talking about the Torah. About the shofar, and the shofar was blown on that day. And I also had spoken that the shofar of Sinai was the left horn of the ram that was offered by Abraham at the Al-Qaeda after he removed Isaac from the altar. And I talked in the depth more about that and about how the 613 commandments was spoken uttered so quickly from God that it came out in such an instant that everybody heard it. And if you go to that particular study audio teaching that I did, I talked about that there, and that is a part of a continuation or the beginning of part of this teaching, because I'm not going to bring it up tonight because of time. But I will go in to talk about the importance of Shavuot today. In the Old Testament, we know that it is called Pekahs, and it's also called the Festival of Weeks. If you look into scripture reference to this, is Exodus 34:22 and Deuteronomy 16:10. The Festival of Reaping and Harvest is Exodus 23:16 and the Day of First Fruits, Numbers 28:26. The Pentecost occurred 50 days, as I stated before, after Jesus was crucified, and this is the one during the time when Yeshua had came upon the earth. And approximately 10 days after he ascended into heaven is likely the time when I have said that the Apostle Luke has stated to his readers to understand the disciples were still meeting in the same place they had been meeting and where they were. And the most likely location was the same upper room where Jesus ate with his disciples just before he was crucified. And there's some other significance about this, too, that on Acts 2:1, it states when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. You can never truly know the scriptures unless you are willing to be changed by them. And it's so important to understand your Hebraic roots. And if you go in and if you look at it, because during this time, we know that Yeshua tarried 40 days before he ascended to the Father. And in Acts 1, we know also after his death, he showed himself to them and gave many convincing proof that he was alive. During a period of 40 days, they saw him, and he spoke with them about the kingdom of Elohim. Before Yeshua's departure, he made a promise to his sent ones, the Shaliachs, the apostles, and his disciples, Talmudim, that on Luke 24, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem to be endued with power from on high. And then after these things happened, from 49 to 53, the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy at a time when everyone in Jerusalem was counting the Omer and preparing for the Feast of Shavuot. Based on the scripture, we know three important facts. It was 10 days before Pentecost when Yeshua commanded his disciples, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing Elohim. From these verses and many others, we know that Yeshua's disciples were in the temple on Shavuot, not in an upper room out of the sight from the rest of the people. And in Acts 1:4, it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart. And then they waited for the promise of the Father, which he said, ye have heard of me. We know of hundreds of prophecies and that foretold of Yeshua. But Peter is very bold, and he specifically refers to what was happening in Shavuot with a prophecy. Prophecy in Acts 2:16-21, and also in Acts 1:5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Ruach HaKodesh, and that is the Holy Spirit, set apart spirit, is what's also referred to, not many days hence. And the Torah was given by Yahweh on Mount Sinai, as we know. And the festival of Shavuot arrived, and the believers all gathered together in one place. And Acts 2:2 says, suddenly there came a sound from above like the roar of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. I'm not going to get into too much detail, but I did want to tell you, some of these things in here that took place in the upper room. in full view of all those that was at the temple that was celebrating Shavuot, and the disciples had received the Holy Spirit. Immediately, Peter is up on his feet and preaching to those gathered in the temple. And on hearing the words of Kepha, which is Peter, the hearts of many were pierced, and they cried out, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And according to Acts 2 and 41, 3,000 people were added to the kingdom of Elohim that day. And we as his continued disciples, this is our job and what we are to do. We as apostles have been given, those who have been really chosen by him, have been given access. We have been given the keys to the kingdom. And therefore, we are to allow access to the remnants, the true remnants that are really coming and seeking. As these men say, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And this day we are to bring them in as the remnants to the kingdom. The Father is looking for his harvest. It's now time. It's so much time I want to put into on this day, and I don't want to overwhelm you because I know what I have given. But it is a time, and it's so crucial that we need to understand that the bridegroom is soon to return. He is very much soon to return. We know that the Holy Spirit had been at work previously. We see him working through different people throughout the Old Covenant or the Old Testament. We see a sure, close connection with the Spirit in the Gospels. Now, though something different has happened and is happening, according to what Yeshua had told his disciples when he had said to them, "Wait for the promise of the Father," and what Peter said later, "Receive from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit." The Spirit was working in a new manner. That is, in a way that he had not worked previously, but ways that had been promised for God. Here is the special time for us to be awakened and strengthen our special relationship with God. We can do so by rededicating ourselves to the observance and study of the Torah, our most precious heritage. I believe that the holiday of Shavuot is linked with the rapture, the return of Yahshua, to be taken away, the great day of the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, John 14, chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 15, and 51 to 52. Remember that Shavuot in the book of Exodus marked the day of great and dramatic revelation, signs of fire and the sounds of a heavenly shofar blast, the time when Moshe ascended to receive revelation from Sinai, and later the Holy Spirit descended upon the followers of the Messiah from Zion. We will be weighed before the Lord, the new man of the bride of Messiah, or the assembly of those called out from every tribe and tongue to be a part of God's heavenly kingdom, the kingdom of Elohim. We do not know the day nor the hour of Yeshua's, our Messiah's return, according to Matthew 24:36, Acts 1 and 7. Yet there are clues given in Scripture about the conditions of the world before his time. Yeshua gave us parables warning us to be looking out for him, Matthew 24:2 and 25:1-13. And if you understand it now, we are living in the signs of the times that he is coming. He is on the way. Apostle Paul said the followers of the Lord can know the season of the Messiah's return. He shall come like a thief in the night, for we are living in these signs, and we are living enough to tell people it is time to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The end goal of the Torah is very simple. It is this: that I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, according to the words of the prophet Jeremiah in the 31st chapter and the 33rd verse. Apostle Wade, do I still have additional time or have I ran out?
Let me see. Praise ye the Lord. It looks like you have about 20 more minutes. Amen. We was having difficulties. Amen. But it's okay. It's been resolved. And, some people
had
dropped off
those
who were. No, we still
okay.
have people that have called in, and there were others, amen, who were linked in, amen, through the chat line, but that's been restored as well. So,
okay,
you know, you know, the enemy is a liar, so that's why we prayed, amen, in
amen.
The name of the Lord, amen, because you had already prophetically spoke that he was going to try to interrupt, amen, just teaching,
amen.
And these are teachings that people need to hear in this season. So you do have a little bit ways to go, and then we're going to open up the lines and let people ask questions with
okay.
concerning this.
All righty. Amen. I'm going to go back to do what I originally had talked about, and I am going to read today's account of the Omer. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us concerning the counting of the Omer. Today is 22 days, which is 3 weeks and 1 day of the Omer. Loving kindness within endurance. Today, the quality of benevolence within endurance, enduring with loving kindness, keeping at a task, holding on, even though it might seem too much, but doing so out of love and compassion. That is part of the phrase that you will hear me say, and I am verse well in Hebrew words, but I'm still learning, and I'm going to spell this one. CHESEDSHEBENETZACH, and probably when I'm praying, when I get down to the bottom, the Holy Spirit will pronounce it. But that is what the meaning is for today. Let me begin. May the merciful one restore unto us the service of the Bet HaMikdash. That is the temple, God's, the presence of God and his dwelling place, to its place, speedily in our days. Amen. Salah. For the choir master, a song with instrumental music, a psalm. May God be gracious to us and bless us. May he make his countenance shine upon us forever, that your way be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. The nations will extol you, O God. All the nations will extol you. The nations will rejoice and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples justly and guide the nations on earth forever. The peoples will extol you, O God. All the peoples will extol you, for the earth will have yielded its produce, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all from the farthest corners of the earth shall fear him. We implore you by the great power of your right hand, release the captive. Accept the prayer of your people. Strengthen us. Purify us. Awesome one, mighty one, we beseech you. God, as the apple of the eye, those who seek your oneness, bless them, cleanse them, bestow upon them forever your mercy, your merciful righteousness. Powerful, holy one, in your abounding goodness, congregation, all and one, and to you people who are mindful of your holiness, accept our supplication and hear our cry. You who knows secret thoughts, blessed be the name of the glory of his kingdom forever and ever. Master of the universe, you have commanded us through Moshe, your servant, to count Sefirot HaOmer, in order to purify us from our evil and uncleanness. As you have written in your Torah, you shall count for yourselves from the day following the day of rest, from the day on which you bring the Omer as a wave offering. The counting shall be for 7 full weeks. Until the day following the 7th week shall you count 50 days, so that the souls of your people, Yisrael, ha, may be cleansed from their defilement. Be your will, our fathers, that in the merit of Sefirot HaOmer, which I count today, the blemish that I have caused in the Sefirah Shezid Shebanatzah, be rectified, and I may be purified and sanctified with supernal holiness. May abundant bounty thereby be bestowed upon all the worlds. May it rectify a nefesh, ruach, and neshama from every baseness and defect, and may it purify and sanctify us with your supernal holiness. Amen. And we say Salah. Now, I want to read the legends so you'll understand the words. I'm going to spell them and then tell you. I already told you what the temple was. Sephirah, S-E-F-I-R-A-H, or the Sephiroth is singular, and Sephirah is literally means counting. The one, the Geruah, Shebanetzach, it means rigor within eternity, victory, endurance. Once we have apprehended heaven's desire, discipline and endurance to victory or success. There is a sonnet that is said, that is spoken during that time, is rigor within love. And it states, from the abundant, unadulterate flow of love supernal that has found us here, we draw the courage and the strength to know our own condition and to rightly fear that force to which we almost had succumbed, its threats masked with enticement, bells that warned, muffled, the nerves of smell and taste benumbled, conscience itself distorted and suborned. We fear, yet hold it in a fierce disdain, aware now that the worst that it could do would be to obscure our origin, to stain the inner eyes window, the inner eyes window that must let through, the beam that must come through to show a way. And thus we mark the Omer's a second day. This is called a sonnet, and a sonnet, it means a little song. Nefesh, N-E-F-E-S-H, means a bodily soul or instinct or innate. All created things have a nefesh. There are some that argue that this is not correct. The Ruach, Latin, means breath. The Ruach HaKodesh in Hebrew means the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of the Holy One. Ruach is also referred to the breath of God, Hashem or Hashim. In the Tanakh, the word Ruach generally means wind, breath, mind, spirit. The Ruach Elohim is the Spirit of God. Neshama is Hebrew, a word which means soul or spirit. And I told you that a sonnet means a little song. Father, I thank you. I thank you. And we know that the end goal of the Torah, we know, is based on from the prophet Jeremiah. 31:33 is, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Yeshua, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that ye may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Yeshua, to whom be glory forever and ever. We usually have a benediction that goes, that may the Lord bless you and keep you. Well, the Father has given me one to start speaking now, and I'm sharing it with you all for the first night, but you will continually hear me say it. And it is as follows. Yahweh, he who exists, will kneel before you, presenting gifts, and will guard you with a hedge of protection. Yahweh, he who exists, will illuminate the wholeness of his being towards you, bringing order, and he will provide you with love, sustenance, and friendship. Yahweh, he who exists, will lift up his wholeness of being and look upon you, and he will set in place all you need to be whole and complete. I will go into a deeper teaching on this when it's time, but my prayer for you is that may Hashem grant us passes and through all the gates of understanding in this year. And I thank you for your time to come forward and to listen to Thus Saith the Lord. And so, and I am honored to be able to share this with you. And shalom, shalom.
Amen. Glory be unto the Lord of hosts. Amen. Hashem. Amen. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Wow. Great teaching, Auntie. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand that we still have to do the Torah. We still have to do it because the Lord never told us to, amen, to come from it. Amen. When Yahusha HaMashiach said, I'm not here to destroy the law, I'm here to fulfill it. Amen. He removed the curses, amen, that was in the
That's
Torah.
Right.
You know, and the blessings are still intact. And in order for people to still receive the blessings in the inheritance, as we are Bini Elohim, as we are sons of Yah, amen,
mm-hmm.
We still have to, amen, abide by that law which is written in our hearts. The only thing is, and I tell people this, is that, you know, people are saying, yeah, we go by a new law, the law of grace. Yes, we do go by that. And the thing was, it's a renewed legislation that came from the original law that God gave us, amen, through
mm-hmm.
Moshe, you know. So, yes, the slaughtering of the lamb and things of the, you know, if you have to kill a person who, you know, stone the person who does homosexuality, whatever, da-da-da-da-da. No, we don't, you know, that does not apply to us any longer. But we still have to give observance to his high holy days. He said, to your generations forever and forever. We still have to accept this. And also, you know, once you have accepted the Lord Yahusha HaMashiach, once you accepted Adonai as your Lord and personal Savior, and you, you know, and the Ruach, amen, is in you, amen, now you're going to be led to study the Torah. That's what happened with me and my aunt, is that we've been listening to the Lord's voice and been obeying it. And once he tells us, you know, come back to the Torah so you can understand what sin is, what is it that you truly have to, you know, you don't observe those holy days. You have to do my high holy days. You have to do the Rosh Hashanah, the Yom Kippur, the Purim. You know, all these things, amen, they are not Jewish, but they are more than that. They are, amen, laws of Yah. These are the laws that Yahuwah gave to his people. Hashem. So, you know, so we have to come to grips with that. A lot of people don't want to do it, you know, because it's just too much and they've been captured into Western Christianity, you know, but we still have to go based off of what the Lord has told us in the Torah, amen, which is now written on your heart and not written in stone anymore. That's what the scripture says. So we still have to abide by this. And how people want an activation of God's holy presence. If you do not follow his Torah, you can't get into his presence until you follow his commandments.
I mean,
is there anything else, Auntie, that you, yes, that you would like to add to that?
No, not at this time. You have stated it all. It's just that we are in, you know, we're in the signs of the times. It is around us always. We've got people who are being persecuted for coming unto knowing of the Father and who wants to become the remnants, and they are, either will kill them or force them to try to stay in something that is taking them more out of life. The enemy is in full-fledged with his army to come, and is already here doing things that are trying to deter us from going and following the word of the Lord. And we have to understand that it's always the kingdom of God is not in buildings, and it's not in and stones and all of this other. The kingdom of God is in your mind and is in your heart. That is how the Father speaks to us. And that is what we need to understand, because that's why he is saying that the kingdom of God is at hand. It is very easily to attain it. It's very easily to understand. We first have to go through the Son. And that scripture tells us to get to the Father, you have to go through the Son. And once you know the Son and fall in love with the Son and become a bride of the Son, then you have access to anything that the Father wants you to have. You have an inheritance right to the kingdom. And I just bless him for the things that he continues to show. We are now in living in Revelation 2 and from 17, I think it's to 19. But it says that let the church hear what thus saith the Lord. And we have to understand that those who endure, and we are in seasons of endurance, that we endure, we will receive the hidden manna, and also our names will be written on a stone, and we will come to know what our new names are that will be written on the stone. I don't know about you, but I have my stone, and I just bless the Lord for it. And I want to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, so that everything that we do is documented. And so therefore, when it comes to be accountable, when it is our time to stand before him and recounts of your life come about, that he can say, my good and faithful servant. Those are the words I want to hear. Not that I had strayed from the path and not some of these other things. If you are not and have not changed from things that you know in your spirit and the Lord has been trying to tell you it's time to come out, he's going to start putting his wrath heavily on people so that you start repenting. So if you're going through things of sexual immorality, you're going with same sex, or and you're going and having sexual intercourse, you're not married, these kind of things, you're lying, you're cheating, and things that are not correct, excuse me, not taking care of your children correctly, not teaching them the word, you have not got into a house that is teaching the word, then you are held accountable for this. And those who are leaders need to start having their integrity. You need to be accountable for what you are doing. We have a higher, we are responsible and we are held higherly, more accountable for things that we say and do. Therefore, it takes us that we have to be careful and study to show thyself approved before we just submit and throw any kind of word out there to try to get favoritism from people. That's why we have all the false apostles. We have all the prophets. And if you know the your spirit down by a line, they're trying to get your money, walk out of the building. And when he tells you to do that, you need to go. Because most of them are trying to get more of a financial gain because of the economic stature that the Father has allowed to be across the world. It is to weed out those who are not of him, and those who are with him, there is a reward. He is your portion. He will take care of you. It at times does not seem like it. At times it sounds like he does not hear, but he does. He is conscious of everything. He never sleeps. And at times, if you will really listen, and I tell people, I hear sounds from heaven, and everybody wants to say, it's a sound. No, I hear sounds from heaven. You will hear the Father speak. When it's a thunderstorm and storms sometime, you will hear the Father speak. You just have to listen. You have to learn his voice. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory. Kedvah, kedvah. Amen. Thank you, Auntie, so much for coming on this evening and bringing forth a beautiful teaching. Amen. Those of you who are listening and would like to go back over this teaching, please log into Talk, Teach, and Testify Ministries, and you can listen into the archives under Talk, Teach, and Testify, and you will be able to listen once more and as many times as you like. As you're jotting down the notes, amen, from the Shaylock, Janet Brown. Glory to his name. Thank you so much, Auntie, for coming on. And I love you in spirit and in truth. And, you know, we're going to have you on plenty more times so that you can bring forth the teachings, amen, that the Lord has in store for his children. And he's using us in this season to give people a fresh and deeper revelation as to what's going on around us. Amen. Love you. Amen. That was, amen, Shallock, Apostle Janet Brown. Please look on her page, amen, on Facebook, amen, and she does the counting of the Amel. So you might want to do that and read along, amen, and it will keep you, amen, it'll keep that spirit man lined up under the plumb line of the Lord, amen, as you are counting down those days, amen, toward, glory to God, the Shavuot, the Pentecost, amen. So it's a very glorious time, and this is why you're going through your exodus now in this season, in your spirit, man. This is why you're going to you're going through a transition, amen, in your spirit, man, and in your natural life, in your natural walk, amen, because there's a shifting. There's going to be an activation. And this is more of what Apostle Brown explained to you on this evening. Amen. So please go over the notes. Read it for yourself, scriptures. Amen. Those of you who are reading in the era, in the Levrit, in the Hebraic, amen, you know about it. Go in and get a deeper revelation. Amen. Very blessed teaching on tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, thank you so much for this teaching. I thank you, Abba, for your servant. I thank you, Abba, Father, for sending your son, Lord, your teacher on this evening. Continue to increase, Abba, Father, in her ministry. Continue to increase her strength, her health, Lord. Heal her now. By your stripes, she is already healed. I speak it now and now, faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, in the name of Yahusha HaMashiach. And Abba, Father, Yahuwah, I just give you all the glory, the honor, and all the praise for what you are doing in this season, in this dispensation. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable unto you, O Abba, Father, my strength and my redeemer. I thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for what you are doing in this season, teaching us through the Ruach HaKodesh. And Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. And as we leave from this teaching, but not from your presence, Father, teach us knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, your knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of your word, so that, Lord, we will be ready for the Feast of the Tabernacles, and, Lord, we will have that final drink of restoration out of your cup. And we thank you. We magnify you. We exalt your name. All of this in the name of Yahusha HaMashiach. We do ask and pray. Amen, amen, and amen. I just thank you, the Lord, for each and every one of you for coming in by divine appointment. Amen. We will leave you, amen, with a blowing of the shofar, amen, because he is calling us to get ready. Those of you, amen, who are not understanding, get up under a true apostolic teaching, amen, someone that has, amen, a Hebraic mindset, a kingdom mindset. Get up under and learn the teachings, amen, and this will come to life, amen. Glory unto the Lord. Listen.
On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, with a thick cloud over the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Abraham, stay your hand. There is a ram in the bush. and he shall deliver his people from their sins.
Oh, Yahshua.
There must be a proper sacrifice that they may live.
It was the cry of a lamb, the Lamb of God. For his blood we live.
I'm utterly corrupt. I will not always strive with man.
I am the light of the world. He who drinks of the water I give shall never thirst again. Father, let this cup pass.
Only for your glory, God. Solely to your glory.
Nevertheless, thy will be done.
For your glory, God.
on the third day, he rose. All power is given in my hand. And now, you are free. Why do you stand here gazing? This same Jesus who has taken up shall return again. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I heard a lot of shofar blowing there. Amen. I heard a lot. Amen. That is so powerful. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow at 12 noon. Amen. On Talk Teacher Testify Ministries, we will have the Queendom Diaries. Amen. We will have a lot of different people. Please call in. Amen. If you would like to speak in, it's about women. Amen. In, you know, walking and living in the kingdom of God, amen, how to walk righteously and live holy, amen. So they will go over lots of scriptures. If you have questions or concerns, you can call on in, and it's a very powerful show. We do it once a month here on Talk Teacher Testify Ministry. So that's going to be on tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Then on Friday, we're going to talk about the American metric, amen. It will be with Nebi Savania McCoy. Amen. She once studied under my aunt, amen, Apostle Janet Brown. She will be in on Friday, amen, learning as we go. You know, we're talking about, you know, this metrics, and we need to unplug from tradition and religion, amen. And we're showing you context clues and also signs, warning signs that we're beginning to see. Amen, in America and worldwide. So you don't want to miss that. Amen. And then I'll be doing a teaching on the Sabbath day on Saturday. Amen. We'll continue to talk about the month of Iyar. Amen. And putting together what I have taught on Monday with what my aunt have taught today about the counting of the Amir. Amen. And bringing it together. And then those of you who have questions, you can ask them on that particular day. Amen, on that Sabbath. So, you know, we want you guys to have a clear understanding as to what's really going on. Amen, it's the things that are, not the things that are seen, amen, that matters, is what's not seen. Amen. So we have to, you know, pay more attention, amen, in the spirit realm. So in closing, I love you in spirit and in truth, but there's nothing that you can do about it except for you to do one thing. That is for you to love me back, because God is love, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Those of you, amen, who would like to contact me at Kingdom Harvest Fellowship Center and care of Talk Teacher Testify Ministries, please give me a call. Amen. You can call us here at the Fellowship Center, 273-3327. Amen. Or you can reach me. Amen. Through Facebook, amen, under Apostle Rinaldo Wade. And you can write me, amen. I will write you back, amen. Please write to Apostle Rinaldo Wade in care of Talk, Teach, and Testify Ministries. The address is 4861 Red Top Drive, Acworth, Georgia, 30102. God bless you. I love you. Leila Toff. Shalom and shalom.